We're going back to Cali, to Rancho Cucamonga to be exact, to one of their best home haunts. So hang tight.
Hauntcast.
We're hunting and Halloween fanatics.
I am your resident Massol Baker, and this is Hauntcast. And on my bone phone, I have Jamie from Sowen's Lot Haunt in Rancho Cucamonga. What's up, Jamie? It's the season's here. It's our time to shine. My question to you, brother, is are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm always ready. Halloween 365 out here for sure.
You've already visited some haunts, right? You've already been out and about.
Yeah, I went opening weekend, went out to Universal Studios to see, you know, what they had cooking up this year. And then I went opening night to Scary Farm and then went again on Friday and going to go again tonight. I can't get enough of Scary Farm.
That's great. Is that, do you get like a season pass for that? Or do you just pay, like you just pay per visit kind of thing?
So when it comes to Scary Farm, we get the season pass. A couple of my friends get it every year. That one is just, it's a good price. I think it's like $140 and you can go any night. They do have a pass for Universal Studios, but one and done for that one for me. It's really just a Scary Farm season. So we like to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is each season. Universal, you'll hit it, but you won't be inclined to go back more than that one time.
Absolutely. It's I love them both. No shade thrown at Universal, but it's very formulaic. So once you've gone, you know, they're using the boo boxes, the trigger scares, which, you know, once you've seen them, you sort of know what to expect. Where when you go to Scary Farm, they don't really use that type of scare, that more free roaming monsters. So each time you go through one of the mazes, it could be a completely different experience.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, do you go to any of like the other like smaller, not like the theme park kind of haunts? Do you go to other local ones?
Yeah, I mean, I love, you know, there's one in Phelan, which is literally in the middle of the desert. I don't know if anybody would ever even heard of Phelan, but it's called Fear Farm. And they're great. They're a bunch of crazy guys out there who put on, it's a pro event. But it's little known, but it's in the middle of the desert, so it's completely dark. When you drive up, there's no intersections. You're on dirt roads, and it's, you know, the vibe is there. So I do that, and of course, I try to see as many home haunts as I can. Out here, we have something called the Southern California Haunt List. So you can basically schedule nights where you know exactly you can hit, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 haunts, you know, depending on the proximity, how close they are together. But I like the home haunts. That's probably my favorite part of the Halloween season is I try to knock out the big amusement parks in September. So my October can be dedicated to that.
Yeah. I plan on, by the time this airs, I will have already have visited 3 haunts. I went to Salem. This is great. The first day of fall on the 23rd, right? I went up to Salem and I went up there for the night. I should have spent more time up there. My main goal was I had to go up there to get I'm trying to build a hi-fi system, you know, like a, you know, you're looking 70s, 80s, you know, system. I want to get back. I have a collection of vinyl, but I want to like pick up some stuff that I didn't already own. And I found a vintage Yamaha receiver, the CR1020, which comes like highly recommended for audiophiles. They're like, oh, this is one of the top receivers that you could have gotten back in the day. You know, not a full monster receiver, but you know, like, so I got a really good deal on eBay, and it was a local pickup only. And that was the reason I snagged it, because everybody else was trying to get them to ship. And they were like, I'm not the thing seriously weighs like a freaking like 70, 75 pounds. It feels like I have to weigh the thing to figure like it is ridiculously big and bulky. It's like super hardcore. So the guy, because I made a reasonable offer above his, like, cause he did accept offers, and it was it started off as a bid at like $200. I was like, $300. I live in Massachusetts. No problem picking up. The guy still had 5 days left on it. And he's like, done. He accepted the bid. I completely didn't expect him to do that.
It was yours. And
because I already knew I was going to Salem because I wanted to go up to Ed Gannon's Chamber of Terrors haunt. It's a small haunt, but it was so much fun. It was so, it had such an old school. Now, do you remember the JC's? Have you ever been through a JC's haunted house back in the day?
Oh, yeah. When I was very young, I think it was the first haunt experience I ever had as like a young person. So, yes, I remember it very well. I remember sticking my hand through, you had to stick your hand through a hole and they had the, you know, the gag with the grapes or the Jello. And
Yeah, they had every one of those old gags that people did, you know, at in their basement Halloween parties and stuff like that for kids. They had all those, but it was, they had, it was the, their formula was you would come in and somebody would meet you there in costume. They would be their, your little like host and they would walk you through the haunt. And you would go from scene to scene so that you would go into a scene, like the doors would close and you'd be in there. I'm sure that this was how almost all of them were done. And then something would happen. You know, there would be the mad scientist would be like pulling guts out of a guy. And then, or the lights would all go yep. black. And then all of a sudden, like strobe lights would come on and things would be hitting the, you know, the window or something. And so you would just go from scene to scene and it would walk you through. So his haunt was kind of like that. It was a very, it's a small, he doesn't have a lot of real estate there. But you would go in and they would, you have the introduction room, like the really cool, creepy, parlor area. And the girl would come out. She'd give you a little startle and she'd come out and she'd give you like a rundown. And then she would lead you through the bookcase and you'd go down this passageway and you would just go from like scene to scene. And it was, and they abandoned me for a few minutes in one section. And I'm like, okay, so she told me not to move. So does that mean I just go or am I supposed to stay?
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden something started banging on the wall and then I got hit with air cannons and it was so fun. It took me like 10 minutes to get through the thing and I had an absolute blast. I went in and I hung out with Ed for a while. And, I'm not sure if you know who Ed Gannon is. He's like a haunt. He's been in the haunt industry forever. He makes haunts, builds haunts, does consulting anyway. So this is his little baby haunt. He bought it a couple of years ago. Anyway, so I went up there, spent some time there, went out for dinner, got some drinks, kind of hung around. And then finally said, you know what? I don't want to have to get a room and spend overnight. It's a 2-hour ride home, but anyway, so it was just a really great way to spend the first night of fall 2023. And I've got two more pro haunts to go to. Which I'll have done by the time this thing airs. I'm going to Fright Kingdom and then the Dark Woods, which are right near each other in Nashua, New Hampshire, which are probably another 2-hour ride. And then that's going to pretty much do it for me. I would love to go hit a bunch of home haunts in the area if there were any, which there really isn't. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I'd have to go to one. I think the closest one that I know of, the people who I know who do haunts, Warren Maxwell's like Third Degree of Terror up in Air or somewhere, which is probably another hour and a half or 2-hour ride, which I don't think it's going to be open when I'm up in that area going to those other haunts where I'd like to hit it. And there's really in this area, people might do them, but I'm not aware of them. I haven't found any. I'm really the only one. Yeah,
that's a shame because I go to New Hampshire for work and I was just out there a couple weeks ago. And it just, you know, East Coast compared to, you know, California, Halloween is completely different. I mean, you got the trees changing. There's just pumpkins everywhere. Like the environment is perfect because Haunted Overload's in
Hampshire.
Is Lee. It Lee?
Which is about a 3-hour ride from me. Maybe a little less, but roughly about 3 hours.
I would just assume there's a bunch of home haunts out there, just to how it looks. You know,
no, I know there's like the Hudson House up there. I see them online. I see them on Instagram. I think I follow them. There are places around, but you know, New Hampshire is a couple hour ride for me, so I could, you know, if I want to travel 2 hours, I could probably go find some home haunts. But in my immediate area, like getting out, jumping in my car, and driving around like a half hour, 45 minutes around me. There's really nothing I'm familiar with. You know, there used to be a guy in town, wow, but he got shut down. So, and then, yeah, I don't, yeah. And then instead of just doing a yard display, cause he was doing a walkthrough, instead of doing a yard display and like doing something with it, like what I do, yeah, he just gave up after that. I'm like, all right, well, you really, I guess, really weren't in that into it then, you know? I guess you aren't a right, haunter yeah, for life, man. Yeah.
That's right. Gotta take his card away.
Exactly. If he had one, I'm not sure about. So
that's right.
Now, within your local vicinity, you could hit, like, within a half hour to 40 minute ride, how many haunts could you hit? Home haunts, of course.
Oh, wow. I'm anywhere from 10 to 15, I'd say. I mean, a block away from me is Helser, and they're incredible. They're doing a Stranger Things Ghostbusters mashup. Like, in his driveway is the firehouse from Ghostbusters. He's got the Mind Flayer. He's on another level. There's a guy who built a pirate ship out of a bus. Like, these are all within like 2 miles. Straight to Hales, another full walkthrough haunt, like a Western town. That's all in Rancho. If I like went out to like the area around me, would be like Riverside, and there's, I mean, at least 20. I could spend 2 days and probably not hit them all, if I'm being honest. And then right next to me is the city of Ontario. They may not be on like a haunt list where I would know about them, but I can just drive up and down the streets and you're going to see, you know, some pretty epic displays, maybe not walkthroughs. There's quite a bit. There's a pretty big SoCal. I'm in something called the Inland Empire, where I'm not quite in Orange County, California, or Los Angeles, but where I am, there's a lot of haunters. It's pretty cool.
Is your haunt already set up?
No. So, I don't want you to take away my haunt card, Chris, but, so this year, I know, right? So I've pretty much done, you know, I've done a yard display since 2015, kind of went big in 2020 and then big ever since. Last year, I scaled it down. I say scaled it down. I still had a billboard in my front yard. It was still pretty awesome, but just not as big as previously. I got the honor of helping Rotten Apple, which is a big haunt in Burbank. They're legends, doing it over 30 years. And then my buddy Tim Fowler and Greg from Restless Souls Manor put on something called Bones Gulch. So I got to help them. I've never done a walkthrough, so I want to learn from the best. So I got to see kind of how they did it. I got to scare in their haunt. And then this year I had the opportunity to work with Rotten Apple, which to me, they're, you know, in Southern California, they're legends. And they've put on beautiful walkthroughs every single year. And they're allowing me to kind of help them build their walkthrough. I actually get to help design one of the rooms and scare in it. It's kind of like if you played basketball and Michael Jordan said, hey, do you want to practice with me? I'm like, yes, I very much want to do that. So I'm taking this year to kind of soak it in and learn from other haunters. Still going to do a display, just not something I would advertise and say, hey, come see this. It'll still be better than what most people do, but it just is not going to be huge, because next year, if everything goes as planned, I'll finally get to pull off my walkthrough. So that's the plan. So I'm already actually building for next year.
So everything was, you had a facade kind of built out on the house. Is that how you typically do it?
Yeah, I had, I'm lucky. I have like a corner lot. So like it wraps all the way around. It's like a big, you know, like a V shape. And in my front yard, it was just sort of like a cemetery type thing. And I did like a nod to Trick or Treat, a little bit of Halloween 3 in front of my garage. But on the side of the house, I had this like a witch's house. I built like a facade that I'm just lucky. Like the side of my house, like faces the road. My yard sits up high. So it's, you, when you look up at it, if it's a, you know, an 8 foot facade, it looks like it's like 15 feet high. You know what I mean? So several components I had in my yard. It was pretty massive.
How far did you, I was trying to find videos before 2020. You had been doing a haunt before 2020, right?
I just hadn't branded myself as Sawin's Lot. I was just a guy who did Halloween for the neighborhood. I didn't even really realize that, you know, there were people out there branding it and trying to go through social media to try to attract attention. I was just doing it for the neighborhood. So just little silly little walk. Like I did like a little miniature walk through the neighborhood. I wouldn't want to show you pictures of it, you know, just sort of starting out. But in 2020, when everything sort of shut down, I travel for work. So I don't always have the luxury of being home all the time. And that year I did. So that was the first year I came up with the name Sawin's Lot, started to kind of talk about it on social media, had a lot of, you know, vloggers and YouTubers come out just by, I know a lot of people out here that do haunting stuff. So I'm lucky to have friends like Tim Fowler and, you know, people that put on Midsummer Scream, and they came out, you know, once they start talking about it. It actually got out of control. I'm not even going to lie. My wife hates it because like so many people came here. It went from the neighborhood to, you know, I'd look outside on a Wednesday night. There'd be like 50 people with tripods and cameras outside. And the attention was fun at first, but it's a lot. I mean, because you're always worried about, you know, are people going to take things out of your yard? And so it's fun, but it's a lot.
Yeah, I don't have that. I'm just I'm in an area that's kind of isolated to a bit. I mean, it's a peninsula, you know. So
yeah,
there, you know, I get your occasional person who will come by and like pull out front and get out of their car and check it out. I get a lot of the drive bys where they creep by real slow.
That's right. Yeah. Like,
oh, hey, check it out. And then I get, you know, I get, you know, the local neighbors who will like, you know, go take their dog for a walk, and they always make a point of stopping by and checking out the house, or the kids right. will come by. But I don't. And
those are my favorite.
I don't get a massive amount of people. Once again, where you're located, you have probably all of these, you know, YouTubers and TikTokers and all of these people down there who are all running right. around trying to get footage and do stuff. And I don't get much of that here. So, and I don't get a ton of publicity, which is great, because I had a point where I was doing a walkthrough and it got to a point where I was getting way too many people for this area.
Right. Well, that's the point. If I had done anything other than a display, because a display people can just sort of hang out and they can congregate. If I had tried to do a walkthrough, there's no way. Like the city where I live, the city of Rancho, like they'll shut you down so quick. So it's probably good that I take a step back this year to kind of make sort of people forget about it. Then if I'm going to do something next year, hopefully. It'll be manageable. The guy down the street I was bringing up, Helser, he's been doing it longer than I have in this same neighborhood for 10 years. So that helped, right? So you have this amazing, you know, yard display a block away that's already known. Then I popped up, it became this 1-2 punch, and it got out of hand. If my wife would be happy if I just stopped.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I'm single, probably for that exact reason, that I don't want anybody telling me, you know, what I shouldn't or should not be doing with my my time during this right. time of year in British. So, like I said, you had distinct sections of your haunt where you did a you know, Seasons of the Witch section. Then you kind of lead. I noticed that you had a lot of little subtle like things that were kind of up in the window. You have like a light. And you could see the body. I don't know if it was Michael Myers or whatever it was up in one of your top windows, where, you know, it would be, the window would be dark, and all of a sudden you'd see like a light kind of flicker in the back behind it. And you could see the shadow, and they, you know, you knew it was him. And then there was another kind of creepy looking prop set in the back, like behind a fence or something. And, you know, you could just kind of all of a sudden, oh yeah, you could see it back. I like that kind of subtle things where you have to kind of really pay attention, and then you'll see something. You're like, oh yeah, well, that's cool. You know, it's not so in your face.
That's, you know? That's my favorite. And I have like, you know, some friends will be like, hey, no one can see that. I'm like, yeah, but the one or two people that do, like, that's my favorite. And the neighborhood kids, for whatever reason, like I could do something super elaborate. I could spend all this time wiring all these lights, but I throw a Michael Myers in the window with a flicker bulb. And that's like, they're like, oh my God, that's Michael Myers. That's my favorite. But those are, they're like little, like you said, little subtle things. Those are my favorite. When I'm at someone's haunt, I like finding those little details that maybe aren't, you know, so in your face, to your point. I love that stuff.
I made, I have this little section. I'm trying to go Lovecraft on one section of my yard. I've kind of changed it one area up a bit. One, the cemetery is always the same unless I add a new tombstone or something. The mire, the swampy, boggy area, that kind of add different creatures and that, you know, like I say, I'll add things to that. But this other section kind of gets changed up a bit. So now I'm really kind of like leaning into doing Lovecraft, like Innsmouth, that type of stuff, you know, Dagon. So I made these little frogs a couple of years ago and I call them my little Dagon disciples. And I made this other, kind of cauldron creep, but I didn't want to have the standard cauldron creep that a lot of people have. So I made him, more looking like a fish, more like a fishy kind of a creature. And, the little frogs, and he's like boiling, and the little frogs are like putting insects in his stew kind of a thing, like they're making a stew. This year I added a fisherman to the mix, which, I'll have a lot of pictures coming up once I get them set up outside. And then, next year, I think I'm going to have to go make a Cthulhu, which I'm not sure how I'm going to tackle that. We'll get there, but I have to add a big Cthulhu set in the back. And I've been thinking about it for years, and next year I'm like, all right, I'm definitely going to do it, but I got to start in, to start in January. You know, I have to start way early to do that project. Anyway, so one of the things I made is I made three frogs, but I only had two of them out in the yard. So the third frog, I actually finally, I remolded his face and put teeth in there. So I gave him like this evil little face and like a scowling brow. And he come and I made him, I put him on a fast linear actuator that actually comes up at a good clip. It doesn't just inch up. And I built a box for him, like a crate, and he's just gonna pop up and pop down. And that's one of those simple things where it's not gonna hit you in the face, but if people are over there like meandering around looking at that area, it will just go boop, pop up and pop down, and they'll catch it and they'll be like, oh, you know, it will give a little like subtle startle to a few different people. But I like doing a lot of those subtle creepy things around my yard. Because I don't want to set up pneumatics, because I can't run pneumatics out there for weeks or a month because the weather, it's been pissing rain all weekend. So it's kind of impeded my haunt progress this weekend. But anyway, I noticed those things. So I just pointed them out. Love the little subtleties, especially when you don't think something's going to move or you don't think something's going to be there. And then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, there's something there.
Those are the best.
Were you changing things up each year? Like those sections, were those pretty much what you were doing for the last number of years? Or do you pretty much try to rotate through and change the sections up?
So I try to change them. So the first year, I'll say 2020, when I first became Solomon's Lot, the theme was sort of like, I did imagine that when you walk from left to right on the yard, it was like, okay, this is someone's decorating their house. So I had trick or treaters in the yard. Then I had this sort of cool, Walking Dead doors on my garage that like, you know, sounded like zombies were coming out. And then your standard graveyard. But as you went around, I pitched it as you were going through the veil to where all the Halloween creatures came from. So when you went around the corner, suddenly it's scarecrows, pumpkins, pumpkin ghouls, that kind of stuff. Whereas in 2021, I took away the Walking Dead and I went to Halloween 3. So I did like these doors from Silver Shamrock. You opened it up, had a movie screen, you know, playing the, you know, happy, happy Halloween, driving my neighbors, you know, insane. And then there was a kid with the, you know, the bugs coming out of his head. And then it moved to trick or treat. And I had, like a big elevator I had made that has, it didn't like move, but it was her name's Rhonda from trick or treat. She's like a witch standing like behind the bars holding a pumpkin. I had Sam from trick or treat. So these ghouls that you see behind me here, those are all from trick or treat. I love the original Halloween, Halloween 3 and trick or treat. So that was sort of my love letter, I guess, to that. I scrapped all that last year and I just did a rotten pumpkin patch in my front yard. And I built a big billboard and had just a bunch of pumpkin monsters and completely different, much smaller, but a completely different theme.
Now, did you build those trick-or-treat creatures behind you?
So the masks, you know, I bought the mask. So I found the vampire one on Etsy, and the other ones were actually from Spirit Halloween. And but yeah, I like made them out of like, you know, I have these like where I work, I can get access to these like, they're not mannequins, but they have like a piping pole and kind of like an upper torso piece. And I just, yeah. And I bought the clothes from Goodwill, you know, weathered them, added some leaves, you know, just sort of creeped them out a little bit.
I find that if you can find a mask that will do the job for you, you don't have to sculpt out and right. do all the sculpting. Like I can do certain things. Like I have certain skill set that I can, I'm getting a little bit better at trying. I really need to focus more on trying to do some sculpting and stuff. And I've done some basic stuff, like some of my creatures, because it didn't take a lot of sculpting to do to make it, you know, to get it where I wanted it. But like I said, one of the props that I made this year, the fisherman one, I got the mask from Alan Hopps' Stolpe Studios. It was a raw pull mask for like $35. I filled it with foam, painted it, you know, airbrushed it, did all of that. And yeah, it looked great. And it looks like I made the thing, but it's like you don't have to. There's certain times that you could just use a mask and you can use it very effectively. You don't have to sculpt out the
whole thing. I just started to learn latex. So like the little skeleton guy behind me, he's just one of the new Home Depot. I bought 13 of them. I couldn't help it. They were only $40. These skeletons are beautiful, but I just started latexing his face and, you know, with just cotton and latex. And I'm starting to sort of spread my wings. I want to start making masks and stuff. It's just baby steps.
it's over 15 years, I've gotten to a point where I'm fairly good. I still have a lot of work to do. But yeah, it takes time, man. If you're not doing this like on a day-to-day, a week-to-week basis, which most of us aren't, I do usually take the winter off, but. Like I say, this year I might have to for that Cthulhu. I might have to be working through the winter on that one.
That sounds like you might want to call in the troops. That sounds epic. I can't wait.
So basically you're going to work over at Rotten Apple is what you're kind of doing. And what are you working on? What are you specifically building or doing over there?
So they're doing, you know, I'm labor, you know, they're doing all the heavy lifting. They're, you know, they have a team that they normally work with, but they're allowing me to be sort of like the entry person actor in their haunt. So I'll be the first person you'll interact with. And the room I'm in will be like a lobby of sorts for a movie theater. And they're letting me sort of help with how that's going to look, because it's going to play into how my character is going to behave. So I was there yesterday kind of talking to them about it and how it should be. You know, I'm just helper, like they're doing all the stuff, but they're just allowing me to add input and, you know, participate. I'm asking a million questions just because it's a full scale, you know, walkthrough with cameras, and they have someone at mission control, like watching the guests as they come in. They get thousands of people. So it's just an honor that they're even letting me act in it. And then contribute on a creative level about how I think it should be. They took some of my input on, you know, how some of the maze could be, or how, you know, what the themes were going to be. Again, it's all them, but it was just an honor that they allowed me to even give some input. They're great people. So they're in that epic Home Haunts movie. If anybody hasn't seen that movie, Diane and Preston Meyer, they're pretty legit.
Yeah, I was just watching. I didn't get through the whole thing. It's on YouTube, so you can watch it. Just, you know, you don't even have to stream it. Just like watch it free on YouTube. And I started watching a little bit of it because I had watched it years ago when it came out. I think somebody sent me a free copy of it. So I was like, well, I was watching it. And I think I had the person who made it on as an interview back on the podcast. So, yeah, it was pretty good. I have to go back and rewatch that section of it, though. I don't think I got that far into it. I think I just watched the first one or two haunts, and I don't think that they were in that first section. I think they came a little bit.
And if you don't want to walk power through the movie, you can just find them on YouTube and just watch a couple of walkthroughs. But you would dig it. You know, they do some fun stuff. And the hope is if I, you know, for me, Chris, it's, I don't have, I don't mind building stuff on my own. I actually prefer it because I, you know, don't want too many cooks in the kitchen. But to have actors to actually pull off a walkthrough, like, that's the part that concerns me. I have a lot of friends, but they're doing their own haunt stuff. So I had to figure out a way that maybe I could do a haunt where I had minimal actors. So I think I have a good plan for next year where I'm still doing a yard display because I want everybody to be able to see it. But the hope is, you know, something in my backyard that goes into the garage that would be kind of like on a, I don't know how I'm going to do it, whether it's an invite only or a reservation system, just because I don't want just anybody, because I get a lot of people in this area that, so I'm going to try to control it in a way that it's only certain weekends. There'll be a display for everybody to enjoy, be completely different than anything I've done. And then to have maybe, you know, the last 2 weekends of October have like a walkthrough experience. That's the plan. And like your Cthulhu, this is my Cthulhu. It's a, it's a lot. I'm corpsing a, you know, a 12-foot skeleton. And I learned that that takes a long time. So, building numerous facades and, you know, trying to walk through for my first time. I want it to be right. You know, I want to make sure that it's all dialed in and detailed. So, I don't mind having to sort of take a backseat this year because it'll be exciting to come back with something new for next year.
This is like an interview, you know, or not a, yeah, like a job interview kind of a question, but what's your strength, you know, out of all of this stuff, all of the, you know, the different skills and the things that you pick up over the years from doing haunts, facades, props, this, that, like, what are you best at?
I think, I'm good at like, I'm on the art department is what we joke about. There's, you know, construction side. Like, I can build stuff, but that's not like I figure it out. You know what I mean? I could build Halloween stuff, but I probably shouldn't build your house. But when it comes to like painting, weathering, making monsters, that kind of stuff, I think I'm great at. And, that's where I try to lean. I like doing the set dressing. So, doing displays is right up my alley because I feel like I know how to, you know, to light things, you know, where the lights need to go, where the fog needs to go, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think that's my wheelhouse. Like, if I didn't have to build a facade, I would be happy. I want to, but that's not as fun to me. And I'm not a techie person, but like when it comes to just like laying out a display and like, you know, getting it to look the way I want, like that's my forte, I'd say.
Yeah. Have you come across anything like thing that was like your best bang for your buck lately, whether it be, I don't know, a prop, like some kind of electronic thing, you know, controller. I don't know anything that you've come across that you've been like, oh, this is awesome. Like you really, you know, like you would recommend it.
Well, I would say, I don't know that anybody can get this, but my, one of my friends, figured out how to make his own kind of, you know, peekaboos for like $30. He 3D printed the box and he's just a techie guy. So instead of paying a couple $100 from Fright Props, I can just buy it from him. If it's something that everybody could get, I'm telling you, if you like skeletons, those $40 skeletons from Home Depot, articulated fingers, Home Depot is going to realize what they had. They're going to be $100 each next year. That's why I got 13 of them. I was like, and I'm not, you know, like this guy.
Yeah. Let's do a show and tell.
Might as well. So you can see like, you know, I'm going to corpse his whole body, but you know, I hit him with some latex. I, you know, stained his teeth and such. And I mean, for basically a pose and stay skeleton, like this is next level. So once you, you know, give him some latex, I'll get some hair going, get some gnarliness to him, and he'll have 12 brothers and sisters running around the yard. So I couldn't believe it when I saw it, when it was actually Tim Fowler found one for me and was like, do you want this? I was like, how much is it? I was like, you know what? I don't care. So when he told me it was $40, I was like, can you give me more? So Home Depot lost their mind. And you know, it's interesting because you can, I love going to Spirit Halloween or Home Depot. I don't always buy their stuff, but I always get surprised on how sometimes they'll have the jankiest, horrible skeleton and it's like, you know, $35. And then they put something out like that that's 40. I'm like, you guys have lost your mind. I'm going to buy every last one of these if I can find them. So sometimes it's fun like to find them. And I don't like to just put them out the way they are. I always try to manipulate them in some way and try to make them better, of course, if I can. Yeah,
you can't put them out, you know, just with like the bare bones. You can't put them out raw.
No.
You got to corpse
it. You, like even with the 12-foot skeleton.
You got to corpse it up. You got to make it creepy looking. Make it look goopy and decayed and nasty.
I took the 12-foot skeleton and just took his skeleton head off and corpsed him in burlap and put a giant pumpkin head on him. So he looked like a kind of like a giant scarecrow. And most people were like, where'd you get that? I was like, well, that's a 12-foot skeleton. They're like, where's his head with his eyes? I'm like, I took it off. Just wanted his body.
What was up with the Creep It Real? And I think you had just done the Creep. I don't even know what Creep It Real is, but I love the name. So,
right. It's like a Halloween festival in Orange County, California. And it's the people that run it, Megan and Kevin, they're just really nice people. And they had been asking me for a while to do, you know, like a photo op or something. And their theme this year was Camp Creep It Real. So it's basically an outdoor event at a museum where there's beautiful Victorian homes that are supposedly haunted. So it's like a creepy, you know, the set for it is really creepy. Tons of vendors just selling like Halloween stuff, whether it's food, shirts, you know, props, what have you. They have live music. Tim loves gory stuff, and I love Friday the 13th. And since the theme was camp, I was like, hey, why don't we do Camp Blood? So it started out as an outhouse. We were just going to put an outhouse up that was going to have air cannons, and we were going to, you know, be silly and take pictures. And then it turned to this huge thing that had corpses. I made Jason's, I don't know how familiar I was Friday the 13th, but Jason's mom's head's cut off and he makes a shrine out of it. And there's like, you know, candles. So I made that, you know, Tim made a, you know, Camp Crystal Lake sign. It was huge. And people seemed to really like it. So that was a lot of fun. We wore short shorts, which was probably the scariest thing that anybody saw that weekend. We were trying to look like we're from the 80s, the high socks, the short shorts. So yeah, I'm sure we terrified a few people, but we had a blast. That was a lot of fun. So that was good.
My friends and I always joke about them, and we call them the W's, those shorts, because, you know, they always had that piping that went around the bottom and went up the side of the leg. So it kind of looked like a W, like if you looked at it from the side.
That's exactly right.
And by the way,
this was one of
my parting gifts when I actually went to Camp Nobby Bosco. That's easy, you know, easy for me to say. I went with Johnny Thunder to last year we went to the camp where the original where the original movie was made, and they walk you through every cabin. There was a few of them that did either got destroyed or fell apart, but the most of the 90% of the cabins were there. You got to go to the lake. I have water saved from the lake, which is actually called.
Okay, so you know Friday the 13th.
So it's actually called Sand Pond, but that was Camp Crystal Lake is actually Sand Pond, and you know the camp is Camp Nobby Bosco, which is a Boy Scout camp, and So anyway, it was a blast. It was like a 6 hour or so ride to get out to Northern Jersey, but when I got back, it was one of the best things that I had done in a while. It was just so much fun to go out there. And I also went around and went to a bunch of other places, you know, where Annie kind of comes into, she's walking around at the beginning of the movie and she's going through the different towns and she gets dropped off by the Moravian Cemetery. I went to the Moravian Cemetery and took pictures. I went to the place where she walks under that arched, it was like that arched way that she kind of walks through when she's in town. I went there and I took pictures and video all over the place. I've got to compile it and make a video and throw it up on the channel. I've been putting it off for a while. I got to just do it.
That sounds awesome.
But yeah, it was a blast. It was a good time. Good time. All right. So, any parting words for your fellow haunters?
No, I just hope everybody has a great haunt season, and hopefully you get to scare the crap out of a bunch of people, because that's half the fun.
All right. Well, Jamie, have an amazing season. Have a lot of fun at Rotten Apple over there at Rotten Apple.
Yeah.
And don't forget to stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please.
please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your Haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.